Captain Sideshow Podcast, episode 410. It's spring out there for anyone listening as this comes out. Apparently, winter decided to end a month early, which is great for our skiing that Brian and I have been doing. If you follow us on social media that we've been posting about, we went last weekend and we'll be going, provided there's still snow, next weekend as well.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. They got snow up there. I don't know if you happened to check their weather today, but they got 5 or 6 inches up there today. So,
nice.
Fingers crossed, we'll have a good weekend next weekend. So
that'd be great. Oh. It's cooling down here a little bit over the weekend. It's still like, mid 40 to mid 30s. Not super cold. I'm not complaining about, but winter has seemed to have eluded us for the most part here, which doesn't bode well for next year.
Yeah, right now this is actually kind of working perfect, though, in that up in northern Vermont where we ski, it's getting snow and is cold, but here it's, 45 degrees and sunny. Like, perfect. That's I don't need the snow here. That's great. Anyways, you're not here for weather chat. That should be a separate podcast that we do where we just talk about the difference in weather between New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Vermont.
That is the worst podcast idea you've ever had.
It'd be really short. It's currently this. We can make it a daily podcast.
That's called a weather report. You do not need a permanently recorded podcast for that.
Right, except for it would serve as a nice history if people want to be like, I wonder what the weather was 11 years ago. These guys have been doing it every day for 11 years with zero listeners. Yeah. Persistence is our thing, dude.
Touché.
Anyways, so why we're actually here, we've got three new albums for you, all of which we've actually talked about on the podcast before, and we are going to be doing our Black Label segment featuring a new label for the month of March, but we'll get there in a bit. Leading off, we are starting this week with Intronaut and their newest album, Fluid Existential Inversions, out on Metablade. This is the third time that we've reviewed these guys, all the way back to episode 77 for their first.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, not their first.
Our first.
Their third, I think. This is their sixth album. And this is a band that definitely has a formula, has a sound. Like, they are very much so on the progressive side of metal without dabbling too much into the big ambient, what we have come to think of as being the prog side of things. It is just truly progressive in that it is always ever flowing and changing, not a lot of repetition, not a lot of calling back to things earlier, and kind of always moving forward. And that is the thing I like about them. The riffs are interesting, they're engaging, they're fun, they work in enough of the heavy with the weird time signatures, with the lead lines, with both clean vocals and screamy vocals. There's something for everyone who is a fan of heavy music somewhere in pretty much every single one of their songs, let alone throughout the album. I don't know. I like this. It doesn't break the mold for them. So if you're looking to see them change direction six albums in, then maybe this would not be what you're looking for. But to me, this is a good continual progression of what they have been doing and what we've come to expect and know from them. There are some really heavy, thick, chuggy riffs. The song we're going to play for you, which is the standout to me. I love the intro riff. It's so like weird and noodly. But it breaks down to just like really, really simplistic chug riffs here and there that carry more weight because of how usually off-kilter everything is. And when they fall into just like chug, 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 and like it has this extra layer of density to it. I don't know. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I thought there was a good balance of pretty much everything they do. It is executed very well. And I'm not going to break my history with these guys either. I've always given them fives, and I'm going to continue to do that. I really enjoy this.
Huh. So, I you probably look up faster since you usually have the note in front of you. I don't know what I gave the last albums.
You gave the last two, both fours.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Because I don't listen to them, like, ever. And I know anyone listening to the show knows we have a relative metric fuck ton of music on our computers. But like the last album, the last time I listened to it in full was December 2015.
Care to guess when it came out?
December 2015.
December 2015. Yeah.
Right. They're not a band I go back to. And nothing has stuck with me. However, this one I think will a little more. My problem is I don't know why. As Nick describes them, they haven't changed greatly, which means I've changed. In reading some other reviews, I've seen it described as a kind of a transitional release.
To what?
Well, so
this feels very like in their oeuvre to me.
So to quote Heavy Blog is Heavy. They start their closing paragraph in part saying, quote, "It feels like a transitory release, like a band with an illustrious career thinking about their next move, flexing new muscles and sounds." That's in part because they mentioned there's a lot of just like true intronaut, especially in their structures and stuff, but they kind of double down on some of the heavy, they double down on some of the psychedelic feeling and giving some parts a little more space and opening up a bit, even within the same song. And so those parts shine on here, but haven't taken over their full writing. And that's where they feel like they're toying with some of these new direction and not. And I think that is those new little, nuances, if you will, and new little pieces they're throwing in there. I was playing with the word new in the wrong way. But those parts, I think, are what had stood out to me, and changing their structure slightly and going a little more in the heavy. Like, there's something about the way this is written that hit me more. Now, again, it's been 5 years. We've listened to a bazillion things in this genre, let alone, or style, let alone neighboring styles. So maybe it's me that's grown. But this stuck with me this week a little more. It didn't feel like a slog. It didn't feel like, oh, I just appreciate the music. It's stonery, it's progressive, it's heavy. It's all the bits I like rolled together in a much better package. I think I'm still going to give it a 4, but I have a feeling 5 years from now, I'll remember this album.
Right.
And can totally justify why I gave it that review.
This kind of has that effect on me. And we talked about it earlier this year when we did the shit we missed from last year, talking about East of the Wall, where like we've always enjoyed their releases and they're not drastically different, though I would say the difference between NP Complete and this Intronaut album is a little bit more, you know, NP Complete varied more from the East of the Wall sound. This didn't change that much. It's just more of everything that we like about the band already put into a very good package. And it makes it like a little bit easier to latch onto and digest. And makes it just like a little bit more memorable for whatever reason. But it might just be, you know, as you said, kind of be the one that tips the scale and makes you remember to go back to it. I really enjoy this. You know, it was fun to listen to all week, and there's enough variety and different styles in it that, like, no matter what I was in the mood for, this was easy enough to throw on and enjoy, which, I mean, that's what you want. So, all right. So with that, that's a 4 and a 5 for Intronaut's latest. We're going to play you the song Pangloss now. Check it out.
The best of all.
So that was Pangloss by Intronaut off their latest album, Fluid Existential Inversions. It's out now on Metal Blade Records. Go check that out if you haven't, and let us know what you think over on SideshowPodcast.com or any of our social media. We'll chat and argue about that with you quite happily. Something else that'll be fun to chat and argue about if you're so inclined is Kvelder Tak's newest album, Splid, which is out now on Rise Records. This is their fourth album, our fourth time reviewing them. One of the few bands we've been following the entirety of the show. So, and our history with them is as storied as their career. We, back when we had three hosts and we did a buy, try, skip rating system, we all gave the self-titled debut buys back in episode four. Yeah.
Forever ago.
Fast forward a bit to 2013 when Mirror came out. We were not as impressed and gave it threes. Knotsford, I gave a three, Nick gave a four, because that was a big stylistic change into much more, I don't remember, it was like a classic Rocky type vibe. Not nearly as punky or aggressive, and we're just kind of like, eh. I think after that, we're just kind of like burnt out on Kvelder Tak. We're trying them. So, but here we are, 4 years later. They have a new vocalist and apparently a refreshed outlook on life, because this is, I almost want to say the best thing since the debut, but it's not as good. So,
right.
But it at least harks back to it. There's plenty of the slightly blackened punk and roll. Is that a thing? Did I just make that up? black and roll punk thing that made the first album so enjoyable. There's plenty of that, especially in the first half of the album. The latter half of the album is where they lose me a bit. Particularly from, I think it's Tevling. Yeah, from tracks 8 through 11, just hit this weird lull that takes me out.
Yeah.
Tevling especially just starts off like a, like, 80s ballad, like that plucky riff thing, and then it doesn't pick up energy too much from there, including an 8-minute track at track 10 that, yeah, actually that gets a bit more energetic, but I've also just lost 8 minutes and it loses momentum is the problem. The songs right. aren't inherently yeah. bad. You just get this really strong momentum up until track 8 and then it's just like a hard stop. And you have to get through even part of track 10 before it picks up again. By the way, most of these names are in Norwegian, which is why I'm referring to them by track name. That said, there are two songs that are in English, Discord and Crack of Doom, which also features Troy Sanders. You probably heard that song already. That's up, you know, in the good part of the album. So they're back. They're back in the way we want to see them. And the other part of the change is they take the influence from the last album. The rock vibe is there and it's strong. It takes out a little bit of the bite you got from the self-titled, but it's definitely a better culmination of everything they've done so far as opposed to just the last album, which was a whole new thing that we didn't like. Well, I apparently didn't like as much as you, and was, to me, pretty unmemorable.
Yeah. Yes, my end-all be-all review of this is pretty much identical to yours, but the history of how we got there is a little bit different. I found Mirror to be more lacking because it didn't have the urgency or the energy that the self-titled album did. It just kind of was flat to me, and it lacked a direction. Knotsford, I'm probably butchering that, like, well, it was drastically different and way more like that 70s rock influence, like, was just first and foremost. Mm-hmm. It at least felt like the band was cohesive again. And that's kind of why I ended up giving it a 4, is it had a more solid identity than the second album. But yeah, you're 100% right that this takes that 70s vibe, adds a little bit of that energetic punk urgency that they had on the self-titled, and then gives it a fresh new voice, quite literally. And it really rolls all that in really well. I could have done without the English lyrics, which fucking surprises me. I really don't generally go for, you know, unintelligible lyrics in foreign languages is not generally my jam. But I would argue that Discord and Crack of Doom are two of my least favorite songs on the album, simply because the lyrics are not great and they're extremely intelligible in English, and that takes away from it for me. Like the jams are great on those, but the lyrics kind of take me out of it, particularly Discord. Discord, I probably won't be spinning a whole bunch more times. But yeah, you're right. The album slows down in the latter half, and I wonder really if, as you noted, there are like some of those songs and some of those riffs are good. It's just they're all more mid-tempo, and I can't help but think they would have been better served to shuffle this track listing a little bit.
Right.
And kind of mix it up some and work those in throughout. That said, it might lead us to be doing a different review.
Right.
Where we didn't notice that this had quite that same energy and fun bounce and vibe if, you know, the second song was trebling.
Right. Like, I think,
you know, I'm not sure. Maybe they should have just lopped off one or two of them and made it a little bit shorter of an album.
Well, that's, yeah. Or, if I mean, 58 minutes is a pretty solid length. It's a longer album. And if you took out tracks 8, 9, and 10, you take out 16 minutes or so. So that'd be a 42-minute album. Perfect. And I think the flow would have worked better. I mean, it's, again, they're not bad songs in themselves. And you're right. I think shuffling them through, I don't know if it would have worked. It's not that it's tracked poorly. It's just necessarily, like, there's a flow. It just, the energy difference is so different. Like, they needed something a little more mid-paced to, like, bring you down into there and then pull you back out. Like, it just, it's too jarring.
Yep. You're not wrong. I like track 9 a lot. So I wouldn't want to just straight up lop it out of the album. Like, it could have just been reworked a little bit. They're all solid songs. Just some of the delivery is a little bit weird and different. It feels like they're kind of trying to, at the same time, take a step backwards and get in touch with where they came from, but also work with some new sounds and ideas that might be lighter than anything they've done before. And there is a little bit of a disparity there. Mm-hmm. But by and large, this is easily the best thing that they've done since the self-titled. I have no qualms calling that. I enjoyed this quite a bit. At this point, kind of, even though I liked the last album, I still don't go back to it that often. The only one I really ever go back to is the self-titled. And whenever we're talking about reviewing this band, I kind of go at it with a little bit of trepidation, just assuming it's not going to live up to previous expectations. Yeah. But this was fun. This was really good. I like this a lot. I'm giving this a 4.
I'm giving this a 4, too. And I have to say, I didn't listen to any singles, so I was pleasantly surprised when the album started, and it sounded like older Cavillo talk. So they had me. They were winning right off the bat. So not without some flaws. We got 2 4s for Cavillo Attack's latest album, Split, out on Rise Records. Check out the song Necrosoft.
All right, that was Necrosoft from Kvelder Tok's latest Splid. It's out on Rise Records. Now we have our March Black Label feature for you, which this month is Holy Roar Records. Unlike our last two, we've actually covered a fair amount of music from these guys in the past, including many bands that have shown up on our year-end lists and been mentioned numerous times, which would be Employed to Serve, Rollo Tomasi, Conjurer, and Miners. So this label was founded by a originally Birmingham native that transplanted to the UK in 2006, Alex Fitzpatrick, who had started off putting out a couple of minor releases and smaller things before he moved over there and kind of dove into it headfirst, committing to making that his day job and putting out a pretty broad range of music that he enjoyed and wanted to help with. And the label is pretty diverse. You know, we were talking about it before that it seems to be rooted mostly in and around the core genre, whether that's metalcore, hardcore, post-hardcore, that sort of vibe. But there are definitely outliers here and there throughout it. But that is generally the vibe and theme of it. I was reading an interview with him where somebody pretty much called that as well. And Alex's response was that musically, all I look for is an ethos, an attitude, and an energy. It isn't limited to a genre, although obviously I'm aware of who we are and what we appeal to. So it'd be pointless for us to be releasing a trance single, for example. Beyond that, I pretty much put out anything I think is good in limited quantities. It's a pretty well-curated list, but there are definitely some outliers. While still quality, they dip into like some more of the punk realm and a little less hardcore. Some more hard rock stuff, a couple instrumental bands, and something like Rend is, you know, extremely caustic and abrasive, like, and
black
heavy
metal.
Like straight up black metal. They run a pretty diverse range. I feel like you're gonna have to correct me on this one. Did we first start reviewing some of these bands because you randomly did their subscription service, or did we review a couple, you liked it, and then subscribed? Which also, by the way, these guys run a subscription model via their Bandcamp. That's pretty rad.
The latter, where I subscribed after we reviewed Rollo Tomasi. Okay. So I did that for the better part of a year. And because of their core diversity and punk leanings, the releases were hit or miss for me, throughout the year. Going back and digging through the label, there's, you know, as you noted, a lot to enjoy. Ranging from, I'm going to say this wrong, Mole, which is black gaze, which I know we give a lot of shit to, but giving it a listen through and through is solid, solid release. Obviously, we liked the grindier things of Miners, Portrayal of Guilt, fit that bill, and things like Conjurer. But there's some of the lighter, more posty things, or punky things, I also enjoyed, because punk is one of those things I like from time to time, but am very picky with and can't commit the time to following. So I rely on labels like this, or the few people I know that like it, to give it to me.
Definitely. Yeah. This was one that I took the time this week to go through and actually at least skim, if not fully listen. I mean, I did not listen to every release, but I listened to every band that is currently on the label. And I found a lot more that I enjoyed than I didn't enjoy. You know, there are a few that just, as you said, don't really appeal to our general taste or styles. We've kind of moved away from being into a lot of the more post-hardcore type stuff. So there are a few that didn't quite mash up or gel with me. But there were a lot that I added to wish lists and, you know, made notes of to go back and check out more when I have more time and I'm not, you know, cramming for a podcast. To go spend a lot more time with. And there's a good like 10 or 12 bands on this label that I'm going to go do a little bit more digging into and spending some more stuff on, because I found myself really enjoying it.
This is very different than our last two black label picks, which is good, because this is what this should be
this is the whole
segment
point.
Goes. Also, I don't know how much more death metal I could possibly add to my iTunes in 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, we have to find a couple different ones. Break it up a little bit.
Yeah, so side note, we still welcome your input if you have ideas for labels to check out. We've gotten a few we were looking into, but please, if there's an indie label somewhere that we've checked out before and should dig deeper into, or that you notice we have been ignoring, we'll be happy to take your suggestion and go digging into it a bit.
Yeah. All right. I think that'll do it for this week's feature. We're going to be talking about them again and playing another newer track from an upcoming or recent released album next week. So this week we're going to play something a little bit older for you, though still, 2018 this came out? Yeah, not long ago. And that is the song Evocation from the band Upriver. It's out on Holy Roar Records. Check it out. All right, that was Upriver with Evocation, featuring our black label pick for the month of March, Holy Roar Records. Next up, we have another one that we've covered a few times in the past, and that is Great American Ghost. Actually, I think we've done all of their albums as well. This is their third release and our third time doing it. So this is, as I said, their third release, Power Through Terror, out on E1 Records. This is a band that I love. I gave them a 4 with Everyone Leaves, a 5 with Hatred Stems from the Seed, and they keep getting heavier, they keep hitting breakdowns harder, and they get a little bit more mature with every release. And I don't know, there's not much more I can ask for. These guys are like, these are the upside down version of Polar. Where like, Polar has good breakdowns and is generally heavy, but is super uplifting and fun. These guys are like the dark fucking angry version of Polar, but also occasionally with a good chorus riff, but mostly just with like the breakdowniest of breakdowns. It's very unrelenting and unforgiving. And they do that thing that you love so much where like every breakdown riff is like they forecast it. You know it's coming. They set it up. There's a pause. He yells something angry but perfectly coherent and then it slams. Yep. And like, sometimes you just need that. And there, we don't come across a lot of bands that do it as right as Great American Ghost is. So if it's something that you like, if you have a soft spot for good hardcore, and every now and then you just need a predictable but incredible breakdown, you need this album. I thoroughly love this. Like, from listen one, I think I texted you like last Friday, I forgot how much I love this band. This fucking rules. And my opinion on them did not diminish at all. It just simply got more enjoyable the more I listen to it. This is easily another 5 for me this week. This was a lot of fun.
Yep. This is fantastic. So we talked a lot off air about the Gojira vibes running through this album.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally
you did not.
Yeah, good. You do it.
There's lots of Gojira vibes. And I'm looking at Great American Ghost Bandcamp page where the vocalist, Ethan Harrison, comments on his guitarist and bassist, quote, "No matter how much my dudes listen to Meshuggah and Gojira, I'm always going to sound like I love American Nightmare because I do." And to finish quoting this little blurb, "And it's that potent concoction of the push and pulls between hardcore spite and metal ferocity that makes Great American Ghost's third LP so potent." Nailed it. I literally couldn't have said it better myself.
Perfect. That's it.
Because, yeah, there's Gojira everywhere in here. And while a lot of times when I call out a band pulling in such an obvious influence, I usually call it as a fault. It's usually, oh, you're trying to ape this band, you're trying to ape that band. They're not. They managed to work some of those off-kilter riffs and that tuning and the vibe into their sound. And while the intro, particularly to songs like Prisons of Hate, like, if you don't hear Gojira, you've never listened to that band before. But they turn it on its head from there and play just like ripping hardcore. And it's just, it's savage. It's brutally heavy. It's extremely relevant lyrically and equally as potent and violent musically as it needs to be. And it's funny you use the word mature, because this little blurb I was looking at uses that word too. And I would almost argue it's not. It's music, like lyrically, sure, but musically, it almost seems less mature because it is so just like violent and heavy. But when you listen to the writing more, I guess the maturity is there. Right. So,
right.
That's
my pushback is you just referenced how like they work in crazy off-kilter Gojira riffs and then turn it into a hardcore sound and make it work. To me, that's mature writing.
That's what I'm saying. It's mature writing that, if you're not paying enough attention, comes across as just like stupid, like heavy for heavy's sake, but it's not. There's a meaning behind it. So it's something deeper, a little deeper than you would think on the surface is kind of my point. Like, cursory listeners, you go, all right, that's like, I could probably find 3 other bands that sound similar that you would hate because it's lacking that almost subtle maturity in the writing and the behind the brute force. So this is great. There's nothing wrong with this album that I can find. It's everything I'd want from this band. And while I know I rated the other albums 4s, and I do enjoy them, they did not stick with me as I can tell you right now this album will. We'll be talking about this one in December. Yeah, this
is easily the best thing we've done. Yeah, definitely going to be talking about this one in December. So that's going to do it for episode 410. As always, head over to thesideshowpodcast.com, leave us a review. Let us know what you thought of any of our reviews. Go over to iTunes where you can leave us a review. I got ahead of myself on that one. Yeah, there we go. You can also suggest any future Black Label suggestions that you want us to do. Hit us up on Instagram. We've actually been posting there with some regularity, though my car seems to have wisened up to me since I started trying to make this a daily thing. It has not played a random song yet this week.
Is that okay? I was wondering why there weren't stories, because I've actually been enjoying following them.
Yeah. I have not forgotten a single day. If I have not posted, it's because I did not get one that day.
Why is your car broken?
I've been having quiet rides to work. I don't understand it. It's never done that before. It's usually like, here, have end to start your day. And now it's like, you have nothing. I don't know. But provided that ever happens again, I'll continue sharing those. Otherwise, we're putting some other fun stuff over on Instagram, so be sure to go over there and give that a like. I think that's going to cover it. So with that, we are going to leave you with the song Socialized Animals from Great American Ghost off their album Power Through Terror. We'll be back in 2 weeks for 411, where we already have all the bands picked out, but I don't have that list in front of me, so fuck it. You'll find out then.
So pick for your fucking life!